Oh, we're going to find something out this morning. We're going to find out some things we need to know. Chapter 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. Okay? And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet collar, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, Wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. And the beast that thou saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind of which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give the power and strength, their power and strength unto the beast. Excuse me. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest in the great city is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. I slipped it out already. I can't help it. I read it the way I see it. Father, help us today to understand the depths of your truth. I've said this through this teaching several times. You've got to understand that this book of Revelation is not external. Is not external. Can you get that in your spirit? This is not external. Where does God dwell?
Within.
Where does he work?
Within.
He lives, he sleeps, he has his being, he has everything. Where?
Within.
So wonder what this book's talking about.
Within.
It's within us, it's internal. Every bit of it is internal. Okay? All the earthquakes we have, they're internal. All the wrestlings we have, they're internal. So we go back to the first verse, we're going to see some things here. And there came, or literally appeared, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked where?
In
the midst of me, literally. Meta. In the midst of, okay? So, when you hear God speak, where do you hear him speak?
Inside.
Because he's inside. See? God's not external. God doesn't live in the external. He lives on the internal, right? So when we hear God speak, we hear him speak within. It's no different when John was hearing this. It was all going on within his life, wasn't it? So he hears God speak within him. And one of these messengers says to him, come hither, or come here, literally, just come here. And I will show to you the judgment of what? The great whore that sits upon many waters. Well, in the 15th verse, I just read a verse, it says, and he said unto me, the waters which thou saw were the whore. Where the whore sits are peoples, nations, and multitudes and tongues. So when he says, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, you know what? In times past, I had the same thinking process that a lot of people have, and it's still incomplete, because I was externalizing the great whore. Okay? We wanted to blame that on the religious system, didn't we? And it's normal, once we come into a little bit of revelation of God, is we realize, hey, the church system is a whore. Okay? Because it's man's system, it's not God's system. But see, if it's internal, how can I point out there? You know what the whore is? It's your soul. It's your soul. Because your soul does not want to be faithful to your man Christ. Your soul wants to be faithful to your flesh. That's all it is. So this Babylon, this great harlot, who is it? It's your soul. It's each one of us's soul. This is an internal book, individual to us, isn't it? And all that he's setting on is the many waters. So he's saying, where this whore is, where's she at? Every nation, peoples, tongues, kindred, right? Everybody has a soul. And that's the very thing that's leading you into deception. The soul is made up of our emotions. What does emotions do to us? They tear us apart. If we go to the balanced side of it, and that represents the male side, the Christ, not just the man and woman thing in the natural, but in the natural, most men are usually more on which side? The balanced side. The women are on the more emotional side. But together, we come together and make that perfect thing that God has created. Do you understand that? Just like Adam and Eve, put them together for the perfect creation. Christ and His church, back together for the perfect creation. Okay? So, he says, he's going to show it to you. Now, do you think the Spirit would say to John, come up here, I'm going to show you something, and not show it to him? That's ridiculous, isn't it? That'd make God out to be a liar, wouldn't it? So he said, come up here, I'm going to show you something. But again, this whole book is written in what? Parables, symbolism. Everything is symbolic. So we realize now, when you hear about the great whore, who are we talking about? It's internal, isn't it? See? It's internal. If we don't see it's internal and we keep blaming the system out here somewhere, I will never change if I blame somebody else. As long as I'm pointing a finger out there, in here will never change. I'll die and go to my grave and be the same carnal person I started. I have to realize the change comes from within. Everything comes from within. Look at verse 2. With whom, or in the midst of whom, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now notice, in the midst of who? The kings of what? Kings of the earth. We talk about, well, I talk about earth, I can't help but hear covenants. How many covenants is there?
Three.
Dust, sand, stars. Where's the dust and sand? So we're talking about kings that are living where? In Passover and Pentecost. See? Inside of me, but we're talking about the Passover and Pentecost experiences in me, right? In you. And as long as I live in Passover and Pentecost, guess who I'm going to be running around with? The great whore. See? I got to come out of there and I got to get hooked up with my man, right? See, because I am the bride of Christ. Are you? Right? If you're the bride of Christ, you got to get married to your man. Right? We got to get out of this foolishness of trying to blame somebody else for anything going on in our lives. It's in here. It's in this thing in here. And once we have the revelation of who this great whore is, guess what? She has no more power over you. She's exposed. See, the only way the enemy works is in the darkness, in ignorance. As long as we're ignorant of what's going on, we will never change and we'll always point the finger to somebody else. It's not me, it's them. I got news for you. It's you. It's you. You don't deal with it, you will eventually. Better get it over with. But it said, these kings of the earth, that's Passover, Pentecost, have committed fornication. What does that mean? It's idolatry. They have, if you really look at the language, it says it's idolatry. They've not been faithful to God, have they? So the kings of the earth have only been faithful to the flesh. Right? In Passover and Pentecost, you'll see all the flesh. It's enough to gag a devil if there was one. Right? If there was a devil, he'd be gagged in Passover and Pentecost. And the inhabitants of the earth, now who are we talking about again? Who dwells on the earth? We're talking of covenants. Dust and sand. Passover, Pentecost. The inhabitants of the earth have been what? Made drunk with the wine of her fornication, of her idolatry. In Passover and Pentecost, all you have is idols. Come on, isn't that the truth? In Passover and Pentecost, there's nothing but images in our mind. We are not to worship an image. We're supposed to worship the reality of Christ. True or false? God's not an image, is He?
No.
He's Spirit. And we worship the reality of God and not the image that the church has given us in the kings of the earth, the dust and the sand, the Passover and the Pentecost. All they've given us is images and idols. And God doesn't want us in idols. He wants us worshiping the reality of Him. But they have been made drunk with this wine. Wine is intoxicating. When you get drunk, and I've been there in my past, when I got drunk, you know, I really was uninhibited, and I would do anything and everything. And anybody in their reality and truthfulness will tell you the same thing. When people get drunk, they're liable to do anything. And if you watch Passover and Pentecost, guess what? You're liable to see anything. Because they're intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, your mind does not function properly, does it? It's intoxicated with her images and idols that they put in you. What can you do? Move on up, he says. Come on up. Come on up into the star realm and you won't be intoxicated anymore with the wine of the revelation. You come on up into the realms of the stars and guess what? You'll be seated in heavenly places with the mind of Christ and you won't be deceived anymore. You won't be worshiping idols anymore. You'll be worshiping the reality of God. Can you hear me? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman, that's the soul again, sitting upon a scarlet-collared beast. In Isaiah 1 and 18, it talks about this scarlet thing. It talks about the humanity, the scarlet-collared humanity, the sin-stained humanity. Though your sins be as what? They shall be. But I saw this scarlet humanity, this beast, full of the nature, not names, but nature of blasphemy, having what? Seven heads and ten horns. You go back to Revelation 13:1. I saw a beast came up out of the sea. Right? What did he have? Seven heads and ten horns. Same beast. Same picture. Same beast. It's talking about the natural man. The same as the beast that was mentioned in Revelation 13:1. And the woman was arrayed in what?
Purple and scarlet.
Purple and scarlet. Literally, purple represents wealth, royalty. Okay? And what?
Scarlet.
Scarlet speaks of sin. Okay? Humanity was sin-stained, wasn't it? So she was arrayed with wealth and sin. And decked with what?
Gold.
Now notice she wasn't gold. She was decked with it. See? Everything that she's doing is external stuff. She's decorating herself. And that's what the system does. And that's what your soul will do with you. She will deck you out to look like God, but not be God. Sons of God are what? They're part of God, aren't they? They're not just being like him, they're being him. True or false?
True.
Okay. With gold and precious stones and pearls. Speaking of all the things, I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going on with it. Having a golden cup in her hand. See? Had a golden cup in her hand. Her works look still, again, look like gold. It's all external. Full of what? Abominations are literally idolatry. Her vessel is that cup. And it's full of what? Jesus said, you make the outside of the cup clean, but the inside is full of all kinds of abominations. He's talking about our own vessel. See? And the church has created a vessel that has a gold plating on the outside, but inside of it is full of all these abominations. And that's what is all created. See, now we can't point to the system out there, although they've been part of it. But who's got to carry the responsibility? We do. And I have to know in my spirit, I have to accept responsibility. At times, I have had my golden cup in my hand full of all kinds of abominations and decked myself with gold and silver and pearls and all these things and thought I was righteous. And come to find out, I wasn't no better than anybody else. I was probably worse than a lot of them. We all have to come to that place to know that God has got to be the one that does this thing. It's nothing about how hard I work and strive and try to get things done. It's about what God is doing in us. But the cup is full of abominations and filthiness of her idolatry, fornication, worshiping of idols. See, and idols are what? Images. So when we worship an image of God, and I'm not talking about a picture on a wall or anything like that or statue, I'm talking about what's in your head. It's what's in your head. If I worship what's in here and I think that it is so right that it couldn't possibly ever be wrong, guess what? I'm worshiping an idol. I'm worshiping an image inside of my head. I have to take everything that's said, just like Paul said, be a good Berean and search the Scriptures to see if what I say is true. See, don't trust what you think. Make this book and make the Spirit of God reconcile it. If it can't be reconciled, then guess what it is? It's an idol. It's an image. And what do I have to do with it? Cast it out. Cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, take it all out. And upon her forehead, that's her mind, right? That's the mind of the soul. And the soul is defined as mind, will, and emotions, right? So on the mind was a nature written. See? So this mind of this thing has got a nature that's written. Mystery Babylon, the great... The mother of what? Of idolatry. Literally, out of your soul was birthed what? Come on. Idolatry. Our very soul is what birthed this false worship in our hearts. Out of our soul, not from our spirit. Our spirit has a true sense of worship. Our soul does not. It worships images. Oh my God. So this great Mystery Babylon, this great confusion, comes from where? Not the religious system that we want to point to out there in the world. It came from the man. It came from the woman inside of us. It came from humanity. This confusion comes from within. Why do you think we have 22,000 denominations today, plus? 22,000, all using the same book, and all saying, I'm right, and everybody else is going to a hell that don't even exist. Is there confusion?
Yes.
Well, you know what? There's billions of them on the earth today. There's billions of people in confusion today because they think they got this image in their head, this idol, and they're worshiping it. I can't be wrong. You don't believe me? Try to talk to some of these religious folk. And you try to tell them the truth and they'll bite you. They'll chew you down. They'll tell you you're a heretic. They'll tell you everything in the world, but it won't be the truth. And there will be no nature in those people that resembles the Christ. None. Because it's the beast. And the woman's riding on that beast. Right? The truth coming out, this word will do something. Hebrews 4:12 says what? The Word of God is like a two-edged sword, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing, piercing, asunder. See? This Word will change the inside of you. It's exactly what it does. It separates the soul and the spirit. Isn't that what it's all about? Getting our soul separated from our spirit so we can hear the truth? See? What you're hearing in this today should change the thinking process in you forever. If it's of the Spirit, what I'm speaking, you'll never forget it. It'll be within you throughout eternity now because it's the Word of truth. If it's not, it'll just fade away. That's all. And I saw the soul drunken with the blood of the saints. Oh boy, if that ain't Passover and Pentecost. Whew. I saw her drunken. Literally, she's in power over them, okay? Revelation 13, 5 through 7 says, power was given unto the beast over the saints to overcome them. Right? Power was given unto the beast to overcome them, but guess what? Jesus came and reclaimed that, didn't he? We don't have to worry about that. At one point, we was given over to be overcame by that beast. But he said, who quoted it a while ago? Luke, all power is given unto me. Right? He said, all power is given unto you in Luke 10. All power. What does that leave out? Nothing? And you shall tread on serpents and scorpions, demons, devils, and nothing by any means shall hurt you or harm you. See? So we have all power, right? So at one time we were under that power, but we're not any longer. We're free today, aren't we? Whom the Son has set free is what?
Free
indeed. Well, then don't let nobody, any human being, and don't let yourself put you in bondage. Don't let your soul put you back in prison. I don't have to put up with that anymore. Why? Because greater is the one that dwells within me than he that dwells within the orderly arrangement of man. Right? Man's got an arrangement for us. God's got an arrangement. I'm staying with him. I'm staying with him. And I saw the soul drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the messenger said to me, and where was John hearing that again? Inside. And he said, why did you marvel at the woman or the soul and of the beast of humanity, that's the humanity that carried her, which had what? Seven heads, 10 horns. There's Revelation 13, 1 again. He's talking about the beast, the natural humanity. He said, what are you marveling about this for? I think this messenger inside the Christ that was speaking saying, what's the big deal? What are you looking at that thing for? I've overcame it. You've overcame it in me. Is that true? Well, then why are you marveling at this beast? And this woman that's within us that doesn't have any power. All power has been given unto you. Am I right? You ought to be flying about right now. My God, we don't have to put up with this stuff no more. We are free. Jeez. Come on.
Duh.
And the beast that you saw was and is not. Now notice this. It didn't say the beast was and is not and shall be. You know why? Well, this sucker's dead. The last Adam died 2,000 years ago. He is no more. Come on, the beast is dead. The only way the beast has any authority is when you give it to him in your soul. Come on. Do you understand me? I'm going to get passionate here in a minute. And the beast that you saw was and is not. That means it don't exist, don't it?
It was an image.
It was just an image you thought in your head. It's already done away with. You ought to be happy about this. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. What's this? It's the abyss. It's the mind of humanity. He said, it will ascend out. That means it's not here anymore.
Vacated. Praise the Lord.
Do you hear that? It's going to ascend out of this bottomless pit. It's coming out of your mind. That ought to make you happy to know that it's not going to reside here permanently. He's coming out. And he shall go where? Into destruction. He's gone. He's been destroyed. In John, he said this, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the wicked one." It's gone. It's done. My God. I'm going to get hoarse. I ain't even got started yet. "And go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder." The ones sitting in Passover and Pentecost are going to say, "What's going on, them people? They ain't afraid of no devil. They ain't looking for no rapture bus. They ain't looking to sprout wings. They're going to be the light of the world. My God, look at them. They resemble him." That's what they're going to say. They're going to say, "Look at them. They look just like Christ." Do you hear that? That's what they're going to say when they look at you. They're going to marvel when they look at you and see Christ in you. They're not going to see the beast any longer in you. They're not going to see fear in you any longer. You're going to be the Christ on the earth. "Whose names were not written," where? "Upon the book of life." Upon. The book of life is who? Christ. See? Written upon him. We are him. It wasn't written upon them. There's some people today that is not written in the book of life. And Passover and Pentecost is not life. Life comes in the heavenlies, in the star covenant, in tabernacles. "When they behold the beast that was not," that was and is not, and yet is. See? He still has effect on them, though he's dead. Does that sound like somebody who don't have an identity? If you know, like they said in the Wizard of Oz, "Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead," right? Well, why don't we say it? "Ding dong, my old man is dead." Come on. "My old man is dead."
And they dance.
And they dance for joy. See, if we can see this, I can see the parallel of the gospel all through all this stuff that they do. Yeah, walk down the golden street. Come on. The world knows about it, and the church is ignorant of it. The church is sitting out here in plumb ignorance. She was home all the time. Hey, it was already there. If they could just open up. The world preaches this gospel, and the church is ignorant of it. That's what's amazing to me. Oh, my God. "And here is the mind that has wisdom." Uh-oh, hang on. "The seven heads are seven mountains or seven kingdoms on which the woman sits." Well, we already know the woman sits on humanity. This ain't nothing good, is it? This is the worldly kingdoms. It's our worldly thinking. "And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet appeared. And when he comes, he must continue a short space." Seven is perfection. Five is grace. It can speak of death. "The other is not yet. And when he comes, he must continue a short space." You know what he's talking about? In 1 Corinthians, I got a scripture here I got to look at. I'm not sure what it says for right now. Give me grace for a second. Oh, okay. In this verse, it shows me there's an order to something. Okay? There's seven. Five have already been dealt with. One is, and the other has not yet come. I believe Jesus taught a parable on that. There was a woman on the well. There was a woman that had five husbands, and the one she has now is not her own, but there's another one, and she was talking to him. See? All the time, it was already there. Even in that parable, it was already there, wasn't it? Oh. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the what? What does eight mean? It's a new beginning. And when we realize this next thing that's coming about is a new beginning. This beast that God created, when he created it, he said, it's very good. Didn't he? But there's going to be a new beginning in this beast. It's going to be changed. It's going to be matured. Its mind is going to be changed into the mind of Christ. Okay? So, now we've got a new beginning. Right? And it says, the beast that was, the natural humanity, is and is not, even he is. Now, he didn't say he was going to be something like the eighth. He said he is the what? He is the new beginning. And see, Adam was restored on the cross, wasn't he? See, he didn't do away with Adam and make some new humanity. He restored humanity to its position that God started it in. Origin determines what? Destination. So, he takes this beast that was and is not, that means it was dealt with, and yet he is the new beginning of what? Seven. Perfection. This is the first fruit. This is the Christ upon the earth. He's the beginning. It's talking of the Christ. Jesus is the first fruit of all what? Creation. True or false? So this is talking about the natural man being filled with the Spirit of God and standing up on the earth just as Jesus did when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. It's not just about that one man with long hair and blue eyes. It's about the Christ, the whole Christ, which we are. It's the people who are actually manifesting as the sons of God on the earth. Oh, jeez. I'm almost enjoying this. And goes into perdition.
What is perdition?
Destruction.
Complete destruction.
See? But see, all it's saying is, I am the Christ. But you know what? This flesh body is going where?
Complete destruction.
Back to the dust from where it came. It's not talking about us individual. It's talking about this flesh. Flesh and blood cannot what?
Inherit
the kingdom. Come on. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings. Okay? Ten represents what?
The law.
The law. Where's these horns at? So what are we talking about? The law of the mind. The law of the mind. The natural man. Okay? Which you have saw are ten kings. That's the rulers of your mind. There's ten things that he's put here and brought about these ten kings. I've heard people say these different things about it, and I'm not worried about these natural things. Okay? Not interested in them. All the natural things. We could say ten of them. We could leave a hundred of them out as somebody else's kings. It's not important about the natural things, the things that give me a little trouble and cause me to stub my toe or you to stub your toe. Is it?
No.
It's not important. So I'm not going to give no honor to that worldly stuff. It says, which have received what? No kingdom, or literally no authority to rule. Right? As yet, but receive power as what? As an image, okay? They receive it for 1 hour, right? That means it's a limited time in the midst of the beast. So, there's a rulership and authority that is given to these things in our life for a what? Limited time. There's a time in each and every one of us when we walk in carnality. And our soul has a relationship with the kings that live in the dust and the sand. Right? And in this process, it's only a limited time. And when that time comes, it's over. And that ought to make everybody happy knowing that it's just for a 1 hour. It's just a specific time as God has set forth in our life. These have one mind. These things here, they're talking about the mind. These all agree. Okay? In Revelation 16, verse 14 through 16, he said, they're spirits, okay, wicked spirits, evil spirits, devils, that go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle in that day of the battle of the Lord, okay? Revelation 16, 14 through 16. And it said, he gathered them together in a place called the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So he put them together in a place. It's just part of the process. God's gathering them all together. And they all agreed into one, right? And gave their power and their strength unto the what? See? So the law that's in humanity, it all gathers together and supports the beast, doesn't it? Oh, you can get all kinds of witnesses inside of you to want to witness. Yeah, you're a good person. Yeah, you're all right. You got a right to be mad. You got a right to be jealous. You got a right to retaliate. This is America. You have rights. Well, you know, God's not an American, is he?
No.
He don't respect your rights one bit. He is your Lord and Master. He owns and possesses you. Is that true or false? Well, then it's not your opinion, is it? It's about him. Come on. It's all about what he wants. He's the king. And these shall make war with what? Where's the Lamb? He's in you. The Christ in you. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Whoa, Lord. The Lamb's going to overcome everything in your life. It's not about what you do. It's about what he is doing and what he has already done. But he's the one that's going to overcome. We can't do anything about it, can we? Okay. It's about what he's going to do. Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. It didn't say he's going to be Lord of lords. It didn't say he's going to be King of kings. He is King of kings and he is Lord of lords in your life. And when you see it and you agree with it, then you're going to see him overcome. But first we've got to have agreement. Now the 10 devils that he talked about, the 10 kings of the earth, they're in agreement. And the church can't get in agreement. I see something wrong with this thing. Come on, we have to agree with God our Father. We can't agree with these things of the world. Amen. And they that are what?
In him.
In the midst of him are called and chosen and faithful. That's not an option. That's a prerequisite. We have to be called. We have to be chosen. And we have to be faithful. It's not a burden that you carry. It's a nature you possess. It's a nature of being called. You know you're called. There's no question in your mind. You're chosen. No question about it. And you're faithful. No question about it. You don't have a choice because if you have his heart, you'll be faithful. There's no choice about this thing. It's just absolutely what he wants. True or false? I'm going to get hoarse. No, I'm not. And he said unto me, the waters which thou saw where the whore or the soul sets is the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues. It's all of humanity that the whore is setting on. She's setting in. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, that's your humanity, the rulers of your mind, these shall what? Or literally persecute the whore, and shall, that's your soul, and shall make her desolate and naked. That means she'll be exposed. Your man is going to get upset with this woman. He's going to get upset with your woman. And you're going to expose her. You're going to strip her naked where you can see the deception that she had in her. It's going to be exposed by the Christ. By the Christ. Make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh, or literally consume her flesh. Right? And burn her with fire. It's talking about consuming her fleshly thinking. Not literally eat flesh, but consume her fleshly thinking with the fire of God. And he said he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And what does fire do?
Purifies.
It purifies and consumes and burns up all that bad stuff, doesn't it? And burn her with fire. It'll consume her wholly in divine purification. That means you got hope. You're going to be divinely purified by the Spirit of God. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will. You got to hear this. All this bad stuff going on, God said, I put it in their hearts to fulfill My will. Just as surely as He hardened Pharaoh's heart to fulfill His will. Do you hear me? And to agree and to give their kingdom or their rulership unto the beast, to humanity, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now hear this. Until, limited again, this beast nature, this woman, this soul inside of us, this great whore that sets upon the minds of all humanity, has a limited time until the day star rises in your heart. And you know the last thing? The last thing that the day star said before He ascended was, it is finished. When it says it will be till it's fulfilled, till the Word of God is fulfilled, and He was the Word of God, and He said it is finished. And it's done in your heart. This is all within. And the soul which thou sawest is that great city, Babylon, that great confusion which reigns over the kings of the earth. And my God, we're not kings of the earth. We're kings of the stars. We don't have to put up with the dust and sand any longer. Hmm.